Hello?
Hello, Byron. Can you hear me?
Hi, Scott.
You sound pretty good.
Good. we're all...
So,
where are you physically, Scott?
We're kind of staged in two different rooms. I'm in the Legislative Affairs Building with Danae.
Okay. Do you have, and you'll always be on the phone like this during the hearing, so
yeah.
That if for some reason I have to step out, you can step right in?
Yep, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be right here. Do you want, I have the timer here. Do you want to hear what it sounds like?
Please, yeah.
Okay, here we go. You hear that?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember. It was making multiple sounds when we were using it in person. I've changed that, so it's only going to make a noise when the 2 minutes is up.
Okay.
And so Gayla Hoseth is the pro, if you want to jot that down in your script.
Who?
Gayla.
Oh, Gayla, okay.
H-O-S-E-T-H is her last name. As far as I know, Vince is still the con. Supposedly, you saw my note about the congressional people.
Right. I'm sorry, give me Gayla. Is
okay.
It Gayla? G-A-L-A?
G-A-Y-L-A. They're going to broadcast this in a second now, so we should probably get off here and start texting, I would imagine.
I thought it starts at...
But we have to start putting people
on. They have to start putting people on, and the people
yeah.
will be able to hear what we're saying.
Okay, so just very quickly, when I say it's, will you also have the order and the and let me know when the senators are online?
Yeah, I'll do
okay.
that on your cell phone, and is the plan to put them in maybe even ahead of the pro and con speakers if they're available?
Yep.
Okay,
whenever
I'll let you know.
They're available. We'll put
All right.
them in whenever well, they're available. So should I mute or hang up?
Just mute.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Good afternoon. This is Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott. I'd like to call this teleconference statewide public hearing to order. Scott Merriweather, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Then I will proceed. The purpose of, excuse me, the purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding Citizen Initiative 17FSH2, an act providing for the protection of wild salmon and fish and wildlife habitat, which is appearing on the ballot for the upcoming November 6th general election. In this hearing, folks may dial in. In the hearings that we have held, two in each of the four judicial districts in the state, handouts were available at the hearing. I don't believe that folks are calling in from any of the LIOs or in any public place today, but the materials for the ballot proposition number one, the sponsor statements, the comments from prior hearings, all of the information that allow voters to make a responsible decision are available online for viewing and can be reached at Scott, you might mention specifically where online the information can be accessed.
Yes, the public notice that contains all the information just mentioned is available at notice.alaska.gov/189769.
Okay. There will be no questions and answers as part of today's hearing. But representatives from the departments who have an interest and would be involved in the implementation of any statutory or legal implementation requirements going forward will be reviewing the testimony, and they will be adding to a frequently asked question and actions document, which will be available online up until, of course, the time of the election. The order for receiving testimony will be a statement of support from the sponsors of the initiative and a statement in opposition from the principal opposition group organized on that basis. They will have the opportunity to read full statements into the record of this teleconference hearing. We will then accept testimony from attendees in the order that that you call in. And Scott will announce those names to me. Scott and I are in two different places. Testimony will be limited to 2 minutes per person. When you hear the tone indicating the 2 minutes has passed, please quickly wrap up your testimony if you have not already done so. Scott has just demonstrated the tone. We will now begin accepting testimony. I might mention that I understand that members of our congressional delegation may call in order to provide statements, and if and when they do, we will give them the opportunity at that time. I'd like to ask if Gayla Hoseth, is online to provide a statement in support of the initiative at this time.
Hi, Lieutenant Governor. This is Gayla. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi. Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor Milot and fellow Alaskans. My name is Gayla Hossett, and I'm an Alaskan native, and I live at, and I am the second chief of Chugan Tribal Council here in Dillingham, Alaska. I'm one of the co-sponsors to Ballot Measure 1, and I was born and raised in Alaska, and I live out here in Dillingham. Salmon is the lifeblood of Alaska, and so many Alaskans rely on this renewable resource. We want to make sure our salmon are protected and update a law that needs revision. The time has come for all Alaskans to join together and protect our salmon. All Alaskans have been given the gift of salmon, passed down through generations. Salmon and other related fisheries support a $2 billion annual economy, 32,500 fishing jobs, communities around the state, and a way of life for thousands of Alaskans who live a subsistence lifestyle. Many of our villages rely on salmon to feed their families throughout the year. In addition, in many areas of the state, our tourism economy is driven by visitors coming to Alaska to fish and to hunt and to view wildlife, supporting 43,000 jobs and adding $4.8 billion annually to the economy. We are at a critical moment in the history of our state. Our salmon runs are mostly intact, but Alaska is growing fast, and a new generation of mines, dams, and large projects are being proposed. Our 60-year-old ineffective law that is meant to protect salmon habitat will not protect us from the worst effects of mining and overdevelopment on salmon. Not when it's perfectly legal for corporations to wipe out salmon spawning and rearing streams. When Alaska became a state, the drafters of the Alaska Constitution even recognized the value of these resources and created directives to protect salmon and other renewable resources. Specifically, I'd like to refer you to Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution, which reserves fish, wildlife, and water to the people of Alaska for common use. It directs the state to sustainably utilize, manage, and maintain our fisheries and other renewable resources, and directs the legislature to equally prioritize and balance the conservation of natural resources with the state's interest in the utilization and development of them. These constitutional directives serve as the foundation for Alaska's standard of care when managing our salmon resources. We pride ourselves in Alaska on the best managed fisheries in the world. But we can't simply manage only harvest and expect our salmon populations to remain strong. We need to also have strong habitat management in place, especially during times of low returns. In tough times, the single most important thing we can do is provide healthy habitat for salmon to come back to. The problem is that Alaska's current fish habitat protection and permitting law is too general to truly balance sustainable fisheries and responsible development. Under the current law, the commissioner shall issue a fish habitat permit unless the plans and specifications are insufficient for the proper protections of fish and game. However, there is no definition of what the proper protection of fish and game means. That means that the current law does not provide the certainty or accountability in the system to ensure that the law will be applied consistently and without political influence. That's why Ballot Measure 1 is so important right now. Ballot Measure 1 offers a proactive solution to strengthen Alaska law and to protect salmon streams as Alaska continues to grow. Ballot Measure 1 will establish clear, enforceable, science-based standards for development around salmon streams requiring things like adequate water in streams, fish passage, and clean water that wild salmon need, while also requiring mining companies to pay for cleanup of long-term damage to salmon streams. It creates a two-track permitting system to ensure that projects that pose little threat to fish habitat get a minor permit and are processed quickly, but large projects like the Pebble Mine are put on the major track system to receive more scrutiny because they have the potential to damage Alaska salmon fisheries. It also will ensure that Alaskans for the first time will have a voice in the permitting process for major development projects that could harm salmon streams. It gives Fish and Game authority over all salmon streams in Alaska. It creates a path for responsible development projects to move forward in a way that protects our wild salmon legacy. Alaska is the last place in the United States that still enjoys wild, healthy, thriving, sustainable, salmon fisheries. We could look to the lower 48 and we could see what irresponsible development does to salmon. We have the opportunity to finally get it right in Alaska. My hope for our future is that we can learn from the past and choose a different path. Protecting our salmon runs for future generations is about as Alaskan as it gets. I hope you will join us and the thousands of Alaskans and vote yes on ballot measure one on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you, Gayla. I understand that Senator Lisa Murkowski has joined us. Senator, if you care to make a statement, you are certainly welcome to.
Hi, yes, Senator Murkowski is actually 5 minutes out at this point. Could we postpone her comments for approximately 5 minutes?
Of course, yes, we will proceed. Is there an individual online to speak in opposition to ballot proposition number one? I understand Vince Beltrami may be with us.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me, Lieutenant Governor?
Yes, Vince, go ahead.
Okay. Lieutenant Governor Mallott, thank you for offering us this opportunity to provide an opposition statement regarding ballot measure one on the upcoming general election ballot. I'm Vince Beltrami, president of the Alaska AFL-CIO, representing more than 50,000 working Alaskans. Around half of our members work on road projects and in resource development, as well as other construction sectors that rely on a healthy economic environment. And we've probably all heard the famous line, politics makes strange bedfellows. And this campaign season, that certainly applies to ballot measure number one. Much of the time, the business community and labor unions are on opposite sides. But there are a few things on which we see eye to eye, and ballot measure one is at the top of that list. Ballot measure one is poorly written, overreaching, unnecessary, and frankly, it is such a threat to jobs and our economy that the Alaska AFL-CIO and the business community have joined together to strongly oppose it. If that doesn't send a message to Alaskans about the threat this measure poses, I don't know what will. Ballot Measure 1 would eliminate our current science-based fish habitat protections, replace them with red tape and complex, untested regulations. It threatens our jobs and our economy. It threatens our rights as property owners. It threatens our ability to maintain or develop public infrastructure. And it doesn't do the one thing that supporters say it will do, which is fix the problems facing our salmon runs. And look, Alaska is just starting to turn the corner on a tough recession. Thousands of Alaskans lost jobs in the last few years. Friends and neighbors moved out of state to find work. But recently, our members have been encouraged by several promising large-scale projects on the horizon, including the Alaska LNG project, which will build a pipeline to bring our natural gas to market and to more Alaskans. And a recent poll showed that 72% of Alaskans support the building of this project. This project will create tens of thousands of family-sustaining jobs, and the flurry of recent positive news about the project gives our members cause for optimism. Well, ballot measure number one would kill that optimism, dead. A simple reading of the ballot measure's language shows our fears about its impact are well-founded. Just months ago, the head of the Alaska Gasline Development Corporation said that if ballot measure one were to pass, it would, quote, darn near kill the gas pipeline project because it would be impossible to permit. That project is vital to Alaska's economy, and the jobs it could create will employ the next generation of Alaska workers. But under ballot measure one, those opportunities vanish. Now, some of my very good friends are on the other side of this campaign, people I respect, people who in many election cycles I work side by side with, often battling with some of the people that I'm standing with today on the other side of the issue. And that's hard, but we'll get past it. And not to digress, but I guarantee you I'll be fighting with Curtis Thayer next legislative session as he tries to save a buck on workers' comp for his employers, and I fight to make sure those savings don't come on the backs of our injured workers. But to this issue, I'm an avid fly fisherman. Actually, many who know me would say I'm a rabid fly fisherman. Protecting our fish resources is a top priority for me. And folks from both sides tell me this isn't about the Pebble Mine. And now this isn't going to make at least one of the no-on-one funders happy with me, but like Ted Stevens and Jay Hammond, I'm no fan of the Pebble Mine prospect. I think it's the wrong mine in the wrong place. But you can also bet if that project somehow went forward, I would strongly and persistently advocate it be built to the most stringent environmental standards possible and insist that it be built by union workers to ensure it would be built to the highest of industry standards and in the safest way possible. But this initiative reaches way too far and is being advanced by the most extreme of outside environmental interests. Whether or not it is their goal, make no mistake, if ballot measure one were to pass, it would shut down Alaska's economy when we're just starting to get back on our feet. Alaskans have a lot at stake in the November election, and the Alaska AFL-CIO will be fully engaged in letting our members know who has their best interests at heart. Our commitment is to protect and promote good-paying jobs and a healthy economy in Alaska. We will work hard to defeat ballot measure one, and we relish the opportunity to work side-by-side with our coalition partners to advance our shared commitment to Alaska's future, and we encourage folks to oppose ballot measure one. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Malott, for the opportunity to weigh in.
Thank you, Vince. Scott, who is next online?
Senator Dan Sullivan is online now.
Senator Sullivan, welcome. We are pleased to hear any statement you may wish to make.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor, and thank you very much for holding this important hearing. This is Senator Dan Sullivan, and I'm calling as both a U.S. Senator, also as a former Attorney General and Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, and as a concerned citizen and father for the future of our state regarding ballot measure one, which I am unequivocally opposed to. Alaska, as you know, Lieutenant Governor Malott, is home to more than 3 million lakes, 12,000 rivers, thousands and thousands of streams, creeks, and ponds, and of course more coastline than the other 49 states combined. Currently, 40% of Alaska is classified as wetlands. Ballot measure one will substantially change the delicate balance that the state of Alaska, our governors, our legislators, Democrats, and Republicans have developed over the years, one that we all agree values both our environment and protecting it and the need for new infrastructure and development to support our economy and jobs and some of those good union jobs that Vince Beltrami was just talking about. As I mentioned, I'm looking at this from three different positions I've previously held as the current U.S. Senator, DNR Commissioner, and Attorney General. And this measure concerns me significantly for many of the reasons Vince Beltrami mentioned. The shutdown of projects critical to Alaska's economy, jobs for our citizens, and the future of our state, while not doing what it says it would do in terms of protecting our very precious salmon. This measure asks Alaskans to say that all water bodies, from ponds to lakes to wetlands, are fish habitat. It puts the burden of proof on our citizens to show that a water body is not fish habitat prior to any activity, from building a dock at your house to driving a four-wheeler across a stream to your favorite hunting ground. We all love salmon. My wife and daughters and I go to our family's fish camp on the Yukon each summer and fish as much as the state allows us. But in spite of its name, this measure isn't really about salmon. I believe it's more about shutting down our economic future. We all have concerns about salmon runs, and as a matter of fact, I'll be chairing a Senate Commerce Subcommittee hearing on this very issue with some of the state and federal government's best experts on what's happening with regard to our salmon runs on the margins of AFN this Friday. But again, what I am most concerned about as we are starting to pull out of our recession and as we have seen positive progress at the federal level with regard to policies and federal agencies that are now focused on helping Alaska create more jobs, create more economic growth, create more of a positive economic future. This measure, ballot measure one, couldn't come at a worse time. By now we understand that a vast majority of Alaskans, small businesses, and communities throughout the state have been opposed to this measure because it will lead to damaging effects across the state, cause significant confusion among investors, businesses, industry, and greatly diminish opportunities for even the most basic form of development, something our state dramatically needs. We are seeing right now that we are starting to come out of this long recession and high unemployment that has been hurting Alaskan families for too many years. The North Slope is poised for a renaissance. If this measure doesn't stop development entirely, it would certainly increase the cost of economic projects and delay the progress we are making on the North Slope and elsewhere in the state. Ballot Measure 1 would also restrict private property rights and land access across our state, adding a burdensome process and cost for homeowners and public projects. I want to conclude, Lieutenant Governor, by saying and really reiterating what Vince Beltrami mentioned. This measure has brought together leaders from across the state, Alaska Native Corporation leaders, labor union leaders like Vince Beltrami, business and individual leaders across the state, all senior elected officials, Democrats, Republicans, independents, the entire congressional delegation, the governor, many of our top state legislators who are elected, state senators and members of the House, all are opposed to this measure because we see what it would do in terms of our economic future, jobs, and our families. I hope that all Alaskans will inform themselves on the real implications of this measure and join all of the people I just mentioned in voting no on ballot measure one on November 6th. Thank you very much for taking my testimony.
Thank you, Senator Sullivan. Do I understand that Senator Murkowski is also on now?
Yes, Lieutenant Governor, I am online. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, and you're welcome to submit any statement that you might wish.
Thank you. I appreciate that and appreciate being able to follow my colleague, Senator Sullivan, and also to help reinforce what Vince Beltrami has added to this very important discussion today. As we think about this ballot initiative, I don't think that there is anyone that questions the intentions behind the measure. We all support Alaska salmon. We all support Alaska salmon, and whether you're the fly fisherman, whether you are the subsistence fisherman, whether you are occasional recreational or just the individual that wants to order a good piece of fish in our restaurants, we all want to make sure that we're taking care of our salmon. We want to protect, we want to improve Alaska's fish habitat. But having said that, ballot measure one is not the way to do it. And that's why I am very strongly opposed to it and join with Senator Sullivan as well as Congressman Young in a united federal delegation in urging Alaskans to vote this measure down on November 6th. I've kind of put my opposition to this measure into two buckets here, two primary reasons. And the first is considerable. This measure will have real consequences for Alaska jobs and our economy. And then secondary, it will do that. It will have negative consequences while failing to solve the problem that it claims to exist. So, you know, Senator Sullivan has mentioned how encompassing ballot measure one would be. It is sweeping. It would cover over 19,000 streams and bodies of water in our state. It would impact all types of lands that are near those waters. And when we think about the existing projects that we have in this state that would be impacted, like the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, or future projects like a mine out in the YK area, like Donlin, it will create unprecedented challenges for these resource development projects, which, as we well know, provide our economic backbone here in the state. But I think it's important that we remind ourselves it's not just the major projects that stand to be impacted. The permitting, if this initiative were to go through, will also become more time-consuming, more expensive, and in some cases just simply impossible for things like water and sewer projects, for airports and roads and bridges and docks. So I think it's important that we keep in mind that this is not about any one project. This measure will impact Alaskans all over the state and impact projects that have considerable impact on many to projects that are much more discrete and small. It has been mentioned the limitations that a private landowner would face, but also an Alaska Native who might be seeking to develop their ANCSA lands. This measure affects your property rights. And then that brings us to the next issue that that I mentioned with ballot measure one, that even as it makes permitting harder, and I think in some cases almost impossible, it won't actually resolve the root causes of low salmon runs. The science, the data that is out there is a clear indicator that the issues are out in our oceans, not in our freshwater. We need to understand that. We need to resource that understanding. But again, we are looking at a solution that will not address the problem. So as I weigh in, I want to also acknowledge that we're dealing with big issues that affect everyone for a long time to come. And when we deal with these types of matters, the legislative process is one that is designed to allow for a full and fair vetting of issues. And in fairness, this initiative has not had the scrutiny that we need to have for something that could have as consequential as impact as Proposition 1. It was written in private. It has not been held up for public input or scrutiny. It has not gone through the sort of public process that will help us make sure that the policy is right and won't bring about a whole array of unintended consequences. So, again, there is just too much at stake here. We cannot jeopardize the jobs, the strength of our economy. We have to be thoughtful. We have to allow for a process that works. So I'm joining the thousands of Alaskans and Alaska businesses, our Native corporations, our labor unions, and all the other organizations, as well as our delegation, who strongly oppose this measure. And I'm certainly going to be urging all Alaskans to vote no on ballot measure number one. And I thank you, Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you, Senator Murkowski. Scott, are we ready to join the queue?
Yes, sir. Becky Long from Talkeetna is next.
Okay, Becky, would you state your name for the record when you begin your testimony? And the limit is 2 minutes. Each person who testifies is, of course, welcome to submit a written statement of any length, and it will be included in the record.
Yes, Lieutenant Governor, my name is Becky Long, B-E-C-K-Y-L-O-N-G, and I'm calling from Talkeetna. I believe this ballot measure is reasonable in order to protect our salmon for the future and our Alaskan way of life? I have talked to people in the oil and mining industries around Talkeetna who have read the initiative and they work in the industries. They have said that their companies would not have a problem complying with the initiative language. And this is for real. The TV and radio ads from the anti-ballot initiative companies are absurd and ridiculous scare tactics without any credibility. Those same companies have hired Washington, D.C. public relations firms to spin their bumper sticker platitudes. These are the very same companies who have kept secret and hid climate change impact information even on our marine environments and on our oceans for decades. The governor and the legislature have shirked their duty to protect our salmon habitat. Years of weakening our regulations and automatically giving out boilerplate fish habitat Title 16 permits, and I have experience with this, without enforcement have been detrimental. State agencies even allow for the complete destruction of salmon tributaries. For goodness sakes, the governor's Department of Natural Resource Commissioner won't even let citizen groups' applications for in-stream flow reservations on salmon streams be achieved. I believe there are thousands of people who support this initiative, and I am proud to be one of them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Timothy Juan Hollis, Sr., Bristol Bay Region.
Okay.
Thank you. My name is Timothy Juan Hollis, Sr., I'm from Bristol Bay, originally from Dillingham. I was born back in 1946, September 29, 1946, before this state was recognized as a state, Alaska. Alaska was born on my state. The reason why this became a state is because of salmon. That far back I can remember. A lot of people, a lot of fishermen, a lot of user groups, a lot of younger generations that their parents have brought down to my parents. Now my parents brought it down to me. I am 72 years old now. The water has been kept clean all those years. Salmon fish and game really started counting fish back in 1893 in Alaska. The fish and game. Today that fish and game still stands outstanding because they're trying to do their job of preserving what there is to be preserved, not wiped out. Now it is my turn to let the younger generations know that they need to live like the same lifestyle that I have. Too many rivers, too many villages are now being hammered by large-scale developments in their backyards. Namely, Donlin, Red Dog Mine, now Bristol Bay, there's no large development yet. Only salmon has been the biggest, and it is very important that we keep it alive in these waters because it's for the younger generations, for them to use, not for me, but I'm just setting a road for them. We, the people of Alaska, even in Anatovic Pass, ConocoPhillips laid out their things for the people to look at, such as totes of apples, oranges, foods that they can off-road their mines into. But this one elder said, in my freezer, I got all subsistence foods. And this is just the necessities that you're passing out. We don't want to be off.
Again, to summarize your testimony, thank you.
Yes. I would like to summarize by saying that I am for opposition. I mean, I am for a yes on ballot measure number one, and I hope the rest of the state does it so. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Scott?
Next, we have Luke Cashman of Juneau.
Luke?
Hi, my name is Luke Cashman. I am a field manager for the Yes for Salmon campaign, which basically just means that I have spent my time talking to thousands of Alaskans across the state, and I just would like to say that what I find is that, yes, we all are on the same page. We definitely want to protect the salmon. And from what I can tell, what excites most people is the science-based standards being protected by the state law itself. That is a huge update that needs to happen. It should have happened during House Bill 199. It could have happened many, many years ago, but it did not. And now the Citizens Initiative will ensure that the science-based protections, science-based language is protected by the state law with the passing of voting yes on Yes for Salmon on November 6th. Huge fan of that because of my engineering background. And from what I read about the language, if the state legislature does their job and the Fish and Game Commissioner of Fish and Game does their job for years to come, we can ensure that the current standards are protected by the state law and making sure that science leads the way. Thank you for your time, and have a great day.
Thank you, Luke. Scott?
Next, we have Griffin Plush of Juneau.
Griffin?
Hi. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. My name is Griffin Plush. I'm currently in Juneau, but originally of Seward. I am a student at the University of Alaska Southeast, a lifelong Alaskan, and I am in support of Ballot Measure 1. I think that it's been pretty disheartening to hear, our congressional delegation on the line stating, often repeating the lines of the Stand for Alaska No on One campaign. That campaign, which is being funded by massive amounts of money from outside the state, has been confusing the issue and misdirecting, I think, Alaskans, using fear tactics, as one of the previous callers said, and really getting in the way and of a reform that is needed for the future of Alaska, for my generation and future generations. This permit that we're talking about, this Title 16 efficient game, hasn't been seriously updated since statehood. And the permit that is currently in place, I think, our delegation and those who oppose it will recognize is not really doing its job right now. It is a, rubber stamp permit that, some developments get for 99 years that doesn't do anything to address proper protection of salmon habitat, which is the onus of Fish and Game and the state. It was our former governor, Wally Hickel.
Can you begin to summarize your testimony, please?
I was just saying it was our former governor, Wally Hickel, who recognized that economic prosperity without due consideration for the needs of the mind and spirit left us with a society where the good life was measured in tangibles rather than those intangibles of friendship and service. I think that this is a really important improvement to our current law, and much needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Griffin.
Jan Shiflett in Anchorage.
Jan?
Hi, yes, thank you, Lieutenant Governor. My name is Jan Shiflett. I manage the environment team at Alaska Pipeline Service Company, where they operate the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System. My team completes Alaska's Title 16 fish stream permitting, and I'm participating today because I strongly oppose Ballot Measure 1. The measure would delay or prevent actions that protect the pipeline and would increase risk to fish habitat. My colleagues and I work along the picturesque 800-mile pipeline corridor, ensuring that vital maintenance and inspection is completed while protecting the environment, including fish and wildlife habitat. TAPS crosses over 700 fish streams from the North Slope to Valdez. As part of our work, we routinely clear, repair, and modify streams to maintain fish passage and prevent erosion. Many of the people I work with hold master's degrees in fisheries, wildlife biology, wildlife, or excuse me, environmental science, engineering, and engineering. My education and professional background is in hydrogeology and geochemistry. We all take great pride in our role in protecting the environment and the fish species inhabiting the waters we cross. Since the year 2000, LESC has received more than 700 individual permits for routine maintenance activities, new installations, and projects along waterways to safeguard pipeline integrity and protect the environment. We hold 80 to 90 active annual permits for work in fish habitat areas. Any suggestion that TAP's work would be grandfathered is false. Each permit that expires would be subject to the new cumbersome process. Our permits must be issued when they expire, which is typically on a five-year cycle, and we also apply for 40 to 50 new permits each year for maintenance activities. The initiative would complicate and delay inspection-related civil maintenance and, as a result, jeopardize key environmental protection and stewardship actions. My family and I have enjoyed Alaska's rivers and streams for decades through fishing and boating and photography, and to support continued protection of our streams and fish habitat, I'll be voting no on one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Emily Leek of Anchorage.
Emily?
Yeah, I'm here. This is Emily Leek. I am in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm calling in support of ballot measure one. I stand for salmon because as someone who studies science, I would like to see decisions about our state's fish habitat be made on a basis of scientific standards, rather than at the whim of corporations that might not have our state's best interest in mind. A couple people have said that our current permitting process is 50 years old. It allows for a Title 16 permit to be granted if, quote, it provides for the proper protection of salmon, but doesn't further define what proper protection means. It was put in place at a time when the Alaskan population was 200,000. It has not been updated to reflect modern-day Alaska or our current population of 740,000. One of my favorite things about this ballot initiative is that it would add a tiered system to Title 16. So that means us little guys building a dock on our property or driving our four-wheeler through a stream would be able to carry on and continue to get our Title 16 permits because it understands that that impact is minimal. And it also adds clear and enforceable standards that are based in science to permits that would have a high impact to salmon habitat. So it adds things that everyone agrees that are basic to healthy rearing and spawning grounds, things like dissolved oxygen content, fish passage, water flow. We all know that these are necessary for fish to spawn and be healthy. And I've heard several comments on this phone call about our economy, so I think it's important to recognize that our state's salmon is the second largest economic driver. Not only that, but more importantly, it's the cornerstone of our state's culture. We've seen our neighbors in Canada, Idaho, Washington, Oregon. They've made irreparable mistakes when it comes to managing their fish habitat, and they have paid dearly. The cost of remediation of one salmon on the Columbia River is upwards of $1,000. I think it would be a tragedy if we allowed corporate interests to make decisions about our amazing resource. I hope that we don't make the same mistakes as our neighbors in the south and to the west. I got my absentee ballot in the mail this week, and I'm proud to be voting yes on ballot measure one. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily.
Owen Phillips of Soldotna.
Owen?
Hi, yes. Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor and fellow Alaskans. For the record, my name is Owen Phillips. I was born and raised in Soldotna, Alaska, growing up alongside the Kenai River. As such, salmon are an integral part of my life, but that being said, I do not support ballot measure one. During a local hearing on ballot measure one here in Soldotna, concerned citizens stated that we need to trust our government, and I really took that to heart. Prior to taking a position on this bill, I decided to use some of my chemistry training and read all of the available studies that have been published by Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And as far back as 2008, I was unable to find a single data trend that remotely hinted at lower numbers of anadromous fish size or population, even when testing near large industrial projects. Now, I think it's naive for us as Alaskans to think that industry does not affect the surrounding environment, but that is why we trust the judgment of a government agency to protect our wildlife. When Alaska Department of Fish and Game was asked whether they believe the current permitting system is inadequate, they responded that they believe the current system actively protects them and habitat effectively. When asked about determining whether a body of water is anadromous habitat, they said that based on ballot measure one, the process would become difficult, time-consuming, and expensive, and it is my belief that this expense will fall on the private landowners. Many of the answers following were to be determined, which in my opinion is not appropriate. Passing laws with unforeseen consequences is both reckless and irresponsible. All this, coupled with the uncertainty of Alaska's economic climate, high unemployment, recession, and debt, are things that we cannot afford as a state. This ballot measure has the potential to stall or shut down projects that provide jobs to our citizens, including repairs on infrastructure that is already in place. Projects must already undergo a rigorous permitting process, and adding unnecessary hurdles such as input from outside interests that do not care about the well-being of Alaskans seems unnecessary. I will be voting no on November 6th, and I hope that my fellow Alaskans do as well.
Thank you for your statement.
Mm-hmm.
Abigail Leatherman, Chuno.
Abigail?
Hi, my name is Abigail Leatherman, and I am calling in support of ballot measure one. I stand for salmon because fishing is important to me, and I've been concerned about the declining fish numbers, and I want to make sure that the salmon continues to be a way of life for Alaskans for generations to come. While the salmon do face a lot of challenges, including out on the ocean, and that can't be ignored, we have the power here and responsibility to protect their habitat once they do come back. And the current law is vague and it's broad, and it totals only a few sentences as opposed to about 400 pages of fishing regulations, just to put that in perspective. And it leaves permitting entirely up to the whims of the Fish and Game Commissioner. With the updated law, Ballot Measure 1 offers clear science-based and common sense regulations and offers also a chance for public input. It's important to me, because I want to be able to speak up about high-impact projects happening in my area. And at the same time, there's been, a lot of talk about economy on this line, and we cannot argue that, mining and road development, hydroelectric, it's inarguably important to the economy and to jobs. And I wouldn't be able to stand behind this ballot measure if I thought that it was going to shut that down. But also, here in Southeast Alaska, 1 in 11 people are employed through salmon, and we need to balance that. That's not even to mention the cultural and environmental significance, and that's a huge sector of the economy that we just cannot ignore. So I believe that with ballot measure one in place, development can coexist with fishing. I think it's telling that the opposition is funded mostly by outside companies like ExxonMobil, BP, ConocoPhillips, and it's for those foreign corporations that don't rely on salmon as a way of life. So it's our responsibility as Alaskans to stand for salmon, I'm asking my fellow Alaskans to vote yes with me on ballot measure one. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott?
Representative Don Young.
Welcome, Congressman.
Yes. I would suggest one thing. All the work we've done over the years developing our state and making the livelihood for people, all the people, Proposition 1, would take away that ability to expand and continue to have growth within the state. After reading the proposition, I am convinced that there would be no ability or could be stop any project, including schools, roads, transportation in the rural areas, expansion of the rural areas that we have the ability to take and raise the standard of living, if they'd be able, because there is very little in life that is not related to salmon habitat. And the lawyers, and we have too many of them already, would be in fact having lawsuits against anybody and everybody that would take and try to do anything within the state of Alaska. This will not help fishing. Everybody says it will. It will not help the salmon. It will not. In fact, it will stop Alaska dead in its track. It finally would become a territory again. And I am saying no, that is not the way to do this. There's better ways to do it. Let's find out why, in fact, we're doing something as far as the salmon. If there's decline, maybe it's at seas. Maybe we spend more money in ocean recovery and ocean science. So I am one that's been all my career trying to give opportunities to Alaskans, not just the few, the many. And I suggest respectfully, if this was to pass in the form it's been written, you could forget any future in Alaska. There'd be a few benefit from it. The rest of it would not. And in reality, it would not protect the salmon. The salmon still would possibly be at jeopardy. It's not because of what we do here. It's what we have to do in the future as far as studying for the science of the pervading salmon, ability to take and produce salmon again. So I'm urging people to vote no on Proposition 1. And I know some people will disagree with that, but that's the way I studied it. I would say most people haven't read it or interpreted it as I see it's interpreted, so I'm suggesting the vote no.
Thank you, Congressman.
Noria Clark of Anchorage.
Hello. Sorry, I'm currently at the testimonial for SB 91. Yes, I would like to speak on behalf of vote no on Proposition 1, or I'm sorry, on Mallet Badger 1. And the reason being is, first of all, I understand that people think that it's not going to infiltrate our infrastructure economically, but it certainly will. This has become a major issue here. I am from the ghetto in Chicago. My mother is a medical doctor. She was shot there, actually, while she was going to her residency. I'm from southern Arizona. One of the biggest Border Patrol stations in the entire country is in my home city. And I can tell you right now that this is only going to get worse. One of the biggest issues that we have right now is that because of the opioid epidemic and everything else, if we continue to lose more jobs and we don't have the ability to sustain ourselves to eat, this is going to be a massive issue. The problem with this is it's extremely vague. If it wasn't so vague, because I have read it, if it wasn't so vague, there probably wouldn't be such an issue. I understand that they don't really care for large companies coming in here and telling them how to handle their land. I do get that. I used to work at Boeing and build helicopters. Like everything that I built, I'm an aircraft mechanic. Everything that I built, if it got messed up in the sky, satellites, F-18 bomb systems, Apache helicopters, it went down. Okay. When the DOD funding was cut, guess what happens to jobs? The first thing that's cut is jobs. And the biggest issue with this is if you think that we have a problem now, trust me, it's only going to get worse. I'm not saying that we shouldn't make sure that salmon habitats are protected. I'm just saying that this law that comes from somewhere in the lower 48 with people who shouldn't even be having any business, having any kind of business in our state, they don't belong here. They shouldn't be writing measures for our laws, for what we should be able to do. We need to work on this as Alaskans. This needs to be an Alaskan-solved issue because it is way too vague. The information that is put out right now is totally unacceptable. Anyway, what I wanted to say is that I'm vote for no. And the reason is that I want to make sure that most of the people that I know in the state still have a job and that they don't start turning to opioids. As I said, sorry, I'm also in the SB 91 testimonial right now. You guys should really communicate about how to make sure that you guys don't overlap. Anyway, Lieutenant Governor, everybody else, I thank you for your time. Please, people, consider vote no. We really have to make sure that we can save our state. We can save our salmon. It's just not through this measure.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Linda Hutchings, Soldotna.
Linda.
This is Linda Hutchings, Soldotna, Alaska. And thank you, Governor, for taking this testimony. I am one of those people that were lucky enough to call this great land home. I grew up in a homestead in what is now Soldotna, Alaska. We commercial fished in the summer, and as a child, I watched the Kenai River flow by my home less than a quarter mile away. I know that Alaska is one of those unique places to live in. The world is one of the most challenging as well, wild and expensive. As Alaskans, we know that with the blessings of the land and water, stellar hunting and fishing, natural beauty, richness of resources, comes the responsibility to look after our state for generations to come. These things are evident to anyone who has made their life here. Living in Alaska means finding the proper balance between harnessing our natural resources and protecting Alaska for our grandchildren. Despite our long history of looking after this place, we are continually bombarded with demands that we restrict our use of the land and our desire for prosperity. These demands are most exclusively made from outside the state of Alaska. We're not wholly adverse to good ideas coming from the outside, but we tend to be a bit prickly when a bad idea is foisted on us by special interest groups that do not share our lived experience on this frontier. I do not know any other community or state that cares more about its watersheds and its salmon. Current ADF&G regulations, such as the Anadromous Stream Act and the Fish Passageways Act, are among 18 state and federal regulations which guide a thorough, rigorous permitting process. I believe that repealing and replacing ADF&G regulations with vague, untested language will lead to uncertainty to the communities and the state. I instead believe we stay the path, creating future regulations in a thoughtful and educated manner, as we have done over the last 60 years. Stand for Salmon is about emotion, not science, pulling on the heartstrings without looking into the depths of the initiative. But after looking into the initiative, I firmly believe the initiators of this initiative are intent on closing down development in the state of Alaska. I will be voting no on one to protect our salmon, our community, and state from outside interests that do not understand our lived experience, nor have the best interest of Alaska at heart. Thank you, Governor, or Lieutenant Governor.
Next.
Dave Cannon in Aniak.
Dave?
Yes. Hello, Lieutenant Governor. This is Dave Cannon in Aniak. And I'll keep this pretty brief. I think the senators took up some of my time there. I am a fish biologist living here in Aniak, and I've been here for 20 years. And prior to that, I've lived in Wyoming and Idaho and witnessed the decline of the salmon, steelhead, bull trout, Pacific lamprey, and other fishes of the West in the Pacific Northwest. And even when it came time to honestly put the brakes on those declines down there, I saw how industry of all kinds fought any and all necessary regulations to halt that decline. And to think that the habitat-altering projects like the Wakana Dam, Pebble, and Chewitna Mines won't pose substantial risks to our salmon populations down the road is very, very misguided. And, you know, I'm not surprised by the big money that industry is throwing at this initiative, and I guess I'm real surprised to hear a lot of people claim that this initiative is driven by outside interests. I know lots of Alaskans who are pushing this Stand for Salmon initiative. And, you know, the claims that regulations that are in place today are adequate to protect salmon and other anadromous fishes is wrong. And that's one I saw from my experiences in the lower 48, and especially given the nature of politics today. So Alaska does need additional measures to maintain what is arguably the most intact habitat in the world, and we can't take that for granted. And I personally know several retired fish and game habitat biologists who support the ballot measures, so they obviously agree that there's things necessary in place that are going to be able to protect our salmon down the road. Thank you.
Thank you.
Megan Baldino of Anchorage.
Megan?
Hi, this is Meg Baldino. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. I am calling today on behalf of myself as a 19-year resident of Alaska. I'll be voting no on one. I love salmon and I love Alaska, but this is the wrong measure at the wrong time. For the last 2 years, I've done a lot of work and advocated pretty hard for sound state fiscal policy and a stable fiscal plan for our state. And we're still not there. but it's getting better. We're coming out of a recession, and I don't think we can afford to do anything that slows a recovery. I think this measure is going to do that by adding additional requirements when it comes to permitting, and I've worked in many industries in Alaska. We have a robust system. We have a world-class science-based fish habitat protections in Alaska, and I'm very concerned about what this measure does. I support healthy salmon, but I oppose this initiative, and I'll be voting no on one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Doerr, Anchorage.
Jim Doerr from Anchorage. Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation President Keith Meyer recently spoke about Stand for Salmon. He said if it was the law in the early 70s, the oil pipeline would never have been built, thus devastating Alaska's economy. I worked on the pipeline in Prudhoe Bay from 74 to 85, and I have benefited immensely from employment opportunities. That's why I'm standing for Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott?
Alyssa Quinton, Fairbanks.
Hi, yes. My name is Alyssa Quinton. I am here in Fairbanks, District 1, and I am calling in support of Ballot Measure 1 and also to remind our members of our legislature, our representatives, and our community statewide listening to this call of a couple of things. The first thing is that this is a citizens initiative. The same Alaskans who are working on this movement made the same request to the governor in 2007, the same people who supported House Bill 189 in 2017, and in 2018, and worked to get more than 41,000 Alaskan residents to sign this on to the ballot. This is a people's movement from every rank of life, from every industry across the state. And these are your constituents. And if 41,000, more than Alaskans, in every single House district is working to get this passed, then our leaders and our representatives should be listening and should be helping us. The second thing is that this is an update to a pre-existing section in our Constitution. It is not a regulation. It is not anything like that. It is an update that aims to improve the process of one permit that is free, and the average processing time currently is 3 to 6 months. Large projects have to get a slew of different permits, meaning anywhere from 6 months to a year, and could cost them anywhere from $500 to $1,000 on average for state permits alone. Exactly how is updating one permit going to slow down that process? The third thing, there is no science-based standards or processes currently in our Constitution, and that's exactly what we are trying to add. There is no definition that states what a healthy habitat looks like, what a healthy salmon stream looks like, what even a good Title 16 permit looks like, meaning that even if companies do have the best interest for Alaskans in mind, they still don't have a clear standard as to how to do it, and so they're just going off of what they know, and sometimes that's not always the best thing. And so I think we should update this law and make sure that we're doing things correctly. And to summarize, to our laborers, to our workers, to our representatives, to all of our communities across the state, I see you, I hear you. I'm part of this coalition because we are working together to make this state the best one that we possibly can and to be a role model for the lower 48. So I am voting yes on one, and I'm going to continue to work for this community to make sure that we don't have to restore anything, that our environments and our industries are as pristine and as organized as humanly possible. Thanks.
Thank you.
Polly Carr, Anchorage.
Polly?
Hi there. Good afternoon. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for allowing me to testify. My name is Polly Carr, and I'm calling to express my support for Ballot Measure 1. I've lived in Alaska for 21 years. Ballot Measure 1 is an Alaskan response to the growing frustration that many have felt around the state for years about our lack of voice in the permitting process. The opposition wants you to think that Ballot Measure 1 is all about red tape, unintended consequences, or the wrong solution to a problem. The reality is that red tape has been placed on the voices of Alaskans for decades when it comes to major projects in our communities that could significantly impact habitat. Alaskans have been slowly marginalized out of the permitting process for years. The reality is that if we do not take proactive measures to protect salmon habitat and develop responsibly, we will experience the unintended consequences of losing our salmon runs in the future. The reality is that some of the problems our salmon are facing, some of which are attributed to warming ocean temperatures and ocean acidification, are due in part to emissions that some of the top donors to NOON1 contribute around the world every day. And while many average Alaskans cannot control what's happening in our oceans, we can ensure we have cold water habitat for salmon to return to. I have heard outrageous claims by the opposition to ballot measure one, that the rainwater on your lawn will be considered anadromous and you won't be able to fix your walkway, that ballot measure one will not allow rural villages to use flush toilets, that ballot measure one will stop all transportation, all building, and all daily activities. The opposition to ballot measure one knows that Alaskans want to protect our salmon, so they are stooping to ridiculous and outright lies to the public. The proponents of ballot measure one have had the same message all along. We need to fix our permitting system to allow Alaskan voices and include science-based standards to ensure responsible development in salmon habitat. Ballot measure one is about putting the future of Alaska's salmon economy into our own hands. Please vote yes on ballot measure one. Thanks.
Thank you.
Tara Stevens, Anchorage.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for this opportunity to weigh in on this ballot measure. My name is Tara Stevens, and I'm calling as a lifelong Alaskan. I grew up commercial fishing, am an avid fly fisherman, and we spend our summers sport fishing on the Kenai River. I'm also a property owner, and my family has recreational property. Salmon protection is extremely important to me. I support policy, regulation, research, and collaborative improvements for salmon and salmon habitat. And I agree more than anyone that there is a problem with our salmon run. But I'm here today opposing ballot measure one. While I do believe that this initiative was created with the genuine interest to protect salmon, this ballot measure will not only not fix the problems with our salmon, but what it will do is destroy jobs, hurt Alaska's economy, and threaten the way of life for Alaskans, such as myself, who work and recreate in our state. Alaska is just beginning to climb out of the recent recession. Oil production on the North Slope is in a renaissance, and development is being conducted responsibly and with the greatest care for the environment, as it has been done for 60 years. This initiative assumes problems, but does not do anything to address them. And due to the added costs and delays that this measure would have, it could ultimately cause harm to fish and the environment. This ballot measure was written without public comment, without any input from industry, Alaska Native corporations, fish and game, or citizens. Wouldn't it be great to put everyone around the table to address the real problems affecting our salmon runs? Instead of a measure written behind closed doors that will cause countless unintended consequences to jobs and our economy. I believe we can find a middle ground that would ensure that our children can have abundant salmon runs, plentiful jobs, and the freedom to recreate and enjoy Alaska. This initiative is not the answer. Our fish and state deserve better. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next.
Mike Selle of Ketchikan.
Mike?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, this is Mike Salee. I'm calling from Ketchikan. I'm a lifelong resident, born in Ketchikan, lifelong resident of Alaska. I don't have a whole lot of things to say on this, but I think that the fact that I look at the sponsor of an ad opposing Stand for Salmon, ballot measure one, in the Ketchikan paper, the sponsor was ConocoPhillips. And I think that tells me all I need to know about where the no side is coming from. It's coming from large and conical Phillips is an outside interest, and there are other outside interests. It's been the oil company that has confused the issue of climate change. They have co-opted the stand for salmon with their stand for Alaska, therefore adding confusion to the ballot measure when people come to vote. And so I think that's just par for the course for the large oil companies. They have a lot of monetary clout, and they're using it. I will vote yes on stand for salmon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Best Palmer.
Richard?
Yes, my name is Richard Best. Ballot measure one scares the heck out of me. This initiative, with its vague language, will surely tie up a multitude of private and public projects while the language is being interpreted and defined in the court system. We Alaskans have weathered the last 5 years by adding unnecessary and unproven regulations. It will send a poor message to those who are looking to invest in our state. As the former deputy mayor of the city of Palmer, I am concerned for most municipal water treatment facilities that have water discharge permits and the impact this initiative could have on them. The supporters of this initiative have not stated that I've heard in one instance of a project while following our current regulations and processes have devastated a fishing industry. I'd like to repeat that. The supporters of this initiative, as far as I have heard, have not stated one instance of a project while following our current regulations and processes have devastated a fishing industry and how these laws would protect them from that. So I feel this initiative is a solution in search of a problem. Bad language, the wrong processes, and unintended consequences. I encourage every Alaskan to vote no on ballot measure one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor.
Scott?
Alexis Kowachka, Kodiak.
Alexis?
Lieutenant Governor Malott, you got me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Alexis Kowachka. I'm from Kodiak, Alaska. I was raised in Fairbanks. This is my 39th winter. And I stand for salmon. I stand for salmon because I'm a subsistence user. I'm a sports fisherman, and I'm a commercial fisherman. 500 years of dealing with anadromous fish, we haven't gotten it right yet. You know, if you look at Europe and you look at Norway, Iceland, and the East Coast, we've blown it at every opportunity. And then you come up the West Coast, we haven't done it right yet. We're at a crossroads. The previous testifier was saying, show me one project that hasn't affected a salmon run yet. Well, the projects are being designed now. This is to be put in place so we can protect, as we move forward with those projects, the salmon runs that they're going to impact. So we have to look forward. Alaska's at a crossroads. We're going to develop more, and it's time to get it right. We can have our cake and eat it too, but we can't have it under existing permitting. So I think it's really ironic, you know, that everybody's up in arms about transboundary issues when we just let a Canadian-owned company start developing Donlin. They're permitted. They're ready to go. They're going to dig up two salmon streams and do some remediation. And it's unacceptable. They're using 1890 technology. We should ask for more. The disconnect between corporate money and native corporations that aren't representing the people is huge. And it's time to get those things together. We can have our cake and eat it too here, but it's just not happening. We tried to have a bill, HB 199, in the legislature, and we couldn't get it done. The legislature has no ability to get anything done from what I'm watching. And I think it's important to note that if this initiative passes, that the legislature can tweak it and can modify it and can amend it. You know, so this is not like a one time and it's done. You know, and I think it's important that the bean counters that are listening, you know, more people are supporting this. And we all vote, and as Alaskans, we want a better future, and we can do a better job than everybody else. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mark Niver, dialing in from the North Slope today.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor. This is Mark Niver. I'm actually working for BP. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good afternoon, Mark. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. I'm actually working for BP as we speak, and I've been given the permission to talk. But I started working on the North Slope before the oil started flowing for BP. And I'm a commercial fisherman. I've been fishing in Bristol Bay since 1980. My sons have all grown up on the boat. They put themselves through college. And I'm also a member of commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, and I actually represent them as a mouthpiece. But, you know, I'm kind of surprised. You know, we're focusing on the loss of jobs, and I know I hear our representatives are seem to be scared about that. But, you know, fishing supply, I mean, Bristol Bay itself is like 14,000 jobs that it supports. And there's over 40,000 Alaskans that signed this initiative to get it going. Our current laws have held us up to this point. We've got projects like Donlin, like the fellow just said before. Our current laws are going to allow Donlin to remove salmon streams. We've got the Chewett and the coal project. It's on the back burner only because coal kind of is taking a back seat. But the Chewett and the coal project was going to allow the company to remove 13 miles of the Beluga River and then bring it back when the project was done. Pebble Mine has got miles and miles and miles of salmon-producing streams and creeks that it's going to remove. So in moving forward, like the gentleman before me said, we need to have some definite guidelines in how we deal with salmon-producing rivers and streams. So I really support it. I mean, the states of Washington, Oregon, California, they all used to have salmon runs that were just as big as Alaska, and they're gone. So, and they spent, the state of Washington the last 10 years has spent $5.5 billion to try to reclimate their streams. I think to move forward, we need this initiative. I think there's many Alaskans out there that are going to support it, and I'm a yes vote. So, thank you.
Thank you. Scott?
Ryan Estalos of Anchorage.
Welcome. Proceed.
All right. Thank you. My name is Ryan Astolis, and I live in Anchorage. I fly fish across the state, and I dip net on the Kasilof River. I, like many others, depend on salmon and enjoy fishing. And when we're seeing low returns, the most important thing that we can do is to protect the habitat that provides for spawning and juvenile fish to rear before returning to the ocean. The current law is vague, and it doesn't allow Alaskans to weigh in, and it doesn't have standards that must be followed to ensure development companies are held accountable when it comes to our salmon streams. But let me be clear that this will not shut down development. It will bring fish habitat permitting to the modern era, and it's been disheartening to see outside corporations throwing millions of dollars to the no side. It's backed up by Exxon, which is responsible for the state's worst environmental disaster, and Pebble Mine, who has been threatening the world's largest sockeye salmon fishery for over 10 years. Thousands of Alaskans have donated to Stand for Salmon. The folks working on this campaign, the folks that are writing the initiative, live in Alaska. They are Alaskans. The notion of the ballot measure was written in private is false. It's mirrored HB 189, which had several hearings where the public and even industry weighed in. The no side likes to say that there are so many permits, but the reality is that there isn't a permit that allows for the protection of salmon. And just look at how the administration has revoked a citizens-based in-stream flows reservation, which keeps enough water in streams for fish. This is ludicrous, and we need to update the law so that the citizens don't have to pay thousands of dollars to protect the rivers that they rely on. And therefore, I'm voting yes on one. And I hope that Alaskans join me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Catherine Coates in Ketchikan.
Welcome.
Hi, this is Catherine Coates down here in Ketchikan. I grew up in Craig on Prince of Wales Island, and I used to see boats, salmon fisheries, rafted upon rafted, and they'd go to the cannery, and that was my childhood. I grew up and went to the Air Force, and during that time, I spent many hours reading
laws and regulations, and I even helped write some when I was an air traffic controller. When I got out of the military, I went to college and finished my degree and ended up volunteering and being a part of the salmon movement. So I ended up listening to some of our candidates for governor and House, State House speak during Southeast Conference. They told us that they didn't think that this should pass. They were voting no because this is not a good way to put a law into action. Then I found out that a ballot measure is the way of the people's voice to be heard when they aren't being heard on the government level. So that made me a little upset to know that they don't think that we should be able to put a law into action as people of Alaska. And then I heard them our House representative speak and explain how a ballot measure is put on there, and they told us that it is a good way for people to put law into action. So I don't think that our government is to be trusted, as somebody else said, because in this circumstance, they are not telling us clearly what their intentions are or why they vote no. They're just spreading scare tactics, just like the opposition. So I also will be voting yes on one, and I will continue the salmon movement for the rest of my life to make sure that my son has the livelihood that we've had growing up in Alaska.
Thank you.
All we're asking is for projects to be done responsibly, not for them to not be done at all.
No, never.
Okay, thank you.
Carly Weir and Homer.
Hello, my name is Carly Weir. I'm calling from Homer today. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm calling to share my reasons why I'm voting yes on Ballot Measure 1. Ballot Measure 1 is just one critical step to a very complex puzzle that we're facing today in Alaska. And that puzzle is, how do we balance growth and development with maintaining this gift of wild salmon, the gift that feeds our families, sustains our communities, builds our economy, and respects our cultures? The puzzle is even more complex as we face climate change, growing populations, and increased pressure on our really valuable water resources here in Alaska. We only need to look to the Mat-Su, where we're spending tens of thousands of dollars to restore salmon habitat, to try to bring salmon habitat back, when we knew that just putting in better culverts or designing roads just a little bit differently and a little bit better would protect our wild salmon populations. But we built those roads without the right culverts anyway, perhaps because it was cheaper and easier. We also only need to look to the Donlin Gold Mine, where Alaska Department of Fish and Game just issued 13 Title 16 fish habitat permits without any public notice to the local community. The local community was provided no public notice or opportunity to comment on permits that are going to permanently destroy fish habitat. That is wrong. Alaskans deserve better. Ballot Measure 1 provides several common sense updates to our current law. That is one sentence long and incredibly open to interpretation and political influence depending on who is in the governor's seat. That is also wrong. Ballot Measure 1 is a solution to many very clear problems. Ballot Measure 1 creates clear, science-based standards to define what healthy habitat means so that developers can create projects that respect that habitat. Ballot Measure 1 is a common-sense solution. It provides transparency and creates a two-tiered system. I encourage every Alaskan to read for themselves and look beyond the rhetoric of the incessant TV commercials paid for by Exxon, Pebble, Conoco, BP, and Donlin Gold. Thank you.
Thank you.
Zachary Stanley, Ketchikan.
Thanks for letting me testify on behalf of Yes on One. Thank you to the Lieutenant Governor. I'm a student that is currently taking classes at Fort Lewis College, and I'm studying tourism and hospitality management. I spent a lot of time boating in the Inside Passage with my father, sport fishing, crabbing, clamming, and I am very, very in support of Yes on One, because I think that this is going to have major implications on our waterways. For this testimony, I would like to mostly focus on mining oil and gas versus fishing. The difference is they are renewable and non-renewable resources. We have been relying on fishing as a renewable resource for many years as a tradition, and I'm afraid that mining oil and gas companies have just pumped all of this money into saying no on one. We're being out-contributed 10-1 on these contributions, and I don't think that's okay, seeing that these contributions are coming from ConocoPhillips. Once these resources are gone, that they're mining, they're gone for good, guys. They're going to move on to the next place and hunt for resources somewhere else, and we're going to be left with all of the destructive things that come with mining. I live in Southwest Colorado right now, and every time I go hiking, I have to see the implications that mining has had on the watersheds here. I see tailings. I see basically just old mining operations that were just left behind. And I think that these companies are going to cut corners to make profits. They're gonna cut corners, and they're gonna make choices based on the best interest of their company and their profits. They don't live in Alaska. These people do not live in Alaska. We live in Alaska. Let's stand for salmon. Vote yes on one. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Scott.
Sarah Rasmussen, Anchorage.
Sarah.
Then let's try Bruce Niver, Anchorage.
Bruce?
Hello. My name is Bryce Niver. I am a long-term commercial fisherman. I've been fishing with my family in Bristol Bay for my entire life. My dad's been fishing in Bristol Bay for 40 years. One day, I want to be able to fish and enjoy Alaska resources with my family and my kids. Stand for Salmon allows this to be possible. If Stand for Salmon does not go through, our salmon streams will not be around 30, 40 years ago at this rate of destruction by mining companies in the Bristol Bed or at the Dalton Mine. It is proven, especially in the states such as Washington and Oregon, that mining has devastated the salmon runs. So I'm voting yes for the protection of our resources as Alaskans, and I urge all Alaskans to do the same.
Thank you. Scott, do I understand that there are no others on the phone now?
That's correct. We've run out of testifiers.
Okay. This hearing is scheduled to last until 3. The lines are still open, and we will stand in recess pending further testimony, and we will adjourn at 3:00. So we are in recess. I will call the hearing back to order. I understand there was an individual waiting to testify.
Hi, this is Sarah Rasmussen. I'm calling to urge people to vote no on one. I'm a residential appraiser and I'm running for the State House, and I acknowledge many of the previous callers on this giving their testimony and stating that they're concerned about the current permitting processes, and as a candidate running for the legislature, I do want to acknowledge all of them and let them know it's something that should be on our radar, but this is not the right time or the right proposition for Alaskans. We're just coming out of a recession, and this is going to shut down the oil industry in Alaska. So that's why I'm voting no on one, and I encourage everyone to do the same. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Scott?
Brooks Larson of Anchorage.
Hi. My name is Brooks Larson, and I'm giving my testimony for Stand for Salmon. And so my name is Brooks Larson, and I've been going to Bristol Bay for the past two seasons, working in the fishing industry down there. And I have multiple friends who've been lifelong commercial fishermen, and they who've been out there for 40 years plus. And this is something that would destroy the entire fishing industry. The Pebble Mine would eliminate all hope of a completely renewable resource for years and years and years to come. And I don't think it's the right place for a mine, and I think it's quite possibly the worst idea that Alaska has ever faced. So I'm standing for salmon because I completely believe in a renewable resources that cannot be ruined by development and mining companies, oil companies. I want all of that out of there, and I want to keep our renewable resources renewable. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
We're back into our holding pattern now.
Okay, well, we will just keep the lines open. I'll mute here, Scott, and you let me know when there's someone ready to go.
Roger that.
I understand Senator Halford is online. Welcome, Senator Halford.
Hello, Byron. I have been listening for quite a while, and I'm kind of amazed at your tolerance. But the process, of course, started long before the Fish Board took action 2 years ago and went to legislative drafting and a House bill and, a couple of years of inaction. And finally, 42,000 people plus were frustrated enough to go to the initiative. The anti-initiative advocates have spent millions and millions of multinational resource dollars in their corporations, in their subsidiaries, dependents, businesses, chambers of commerce. But the things they're saying simply aren't true. The impact on North Slope Oil is minimal, if anything. They have the most advanced permitting process in all areas, and they have the staff, they have the system, and it works. And it's worked on the pipeline, it's worked on oil. In public projects, there's no impact at all. Public projects have to go through a serious and detailed process way beyond what the initiative would require. The statements that it has no hearings, has no anything else. The Fish and Game Department staff worked with the initiative and the process and had a lot of input through the process. And if you ask the line people in the Department of Fish and Game, not the politicians, the line people, they know that this works. It doesn't mandate things. The Supreme Court took out the provisions that were mandatory. It sets up a process and reestablishes a balance, starting with public notice. Why don't they want public notice? Why don't they want people to know what's being asked, what's being planned? It's ridiculous to run a major multi-million dollar campaign against a proposal that would simply balance the system a little bit more to the public and a little bit less to the corporate world. Thank you, Byron, for your efforts and your interest and your patience.
Thank you, Rick. It's good to hear your voice. Is there another online?
Yes, sir. We have Lindsay Diamond of Fairbanks now.
Lindsay?
Hi, my name's Lindsay, and I was calling in to share my support on ballot measure one. I stand for salmon for many reasons, but mostly I'm standing for salmon because of the hundreds and hundreds of people I've talked to this summer who have shared why they stand for salmon. My reasonings were minimal when I first started understanding about this initiative. I saw it as just being a replenishable resource that we need to preserve for generations to come, but I've learned so much about other people's connections, and this state as a whole's connection, and it is part of what makes Alaska Alaska, and we need to maintain that.
Thank you.
We're fresh out of testifiers again.
Okay, we'll go on hold. I understand we have another to testify.
Yes, we have Mike Kuhn of Palmer now.
Mike,
yes,
welcome.
Yes, thank you. I'll make this short, sweet, and to the point. I'm the president of the Alaska chapter of AMAC, Association of Mature American Citizens, for our chapter here in Alaska. We have 4,500 members in the state of Alaska, and we oppose Proposition 1, because this is nothing more than an outside interest that has gotten people here in the inside of Alaska that are environmentalists trying to mess with our state, take away our rights, and create this total discourse. So we totally oppose it. And that's all right. That's short and sweet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have one more, if you give us 1 second. Kristen Walker of Anchorage.
Hi. I am Kristen Walker. I am calling in opposition of ballot measure 1. I'm Gwich'in and Koyukanath Alaskan. My family is from the Yukon River, and salmon are, you know, very important to our way of life. But I think that I have two core problems with this ballot measure. There's the policy question and process. And so I think, you know, the question of whether or not this is good policy, I think, has been very heavily debated, and so I'm just going to focus on the process. I don't think that questions this complicated should be decided at the ballot box, and I also think that it's really important that our tribes and our communities have consultation, and so the fact that there was no consultation on this ballot measure, especially on an issue that will have such an impact in rural Alaska, is very concerning to me. And so I just think that there has got to be a better way for us to make policy decisions than this process that we're currently going through that has been very divisive and emotional, and it really needs to be fact-based and reasonable. And so for those reasons, I think that I am going to vote no, and I encourage other people to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I understand Representative Seaton is online?
Yes, hello. Yes, this is Paul Seaton. Can you hear me?
Yes, Representative Seaton, go ahead.
Well, thank you. And I just wanted to call in and say that I think that the developers of projects are entitled to have a set of standards and statutes so they can design their project to those standards. And that the commissioner's designee, when he's evaluating those projects, also has a set of standards. Those 7 standards that are in the ballot measure, I don't see any of them that I am at all concerned about. And I think that all of those things are things that need to be done to protect habitat and should be in the consideration in the development of a project. But without them in statute, both project developers and the political considerations on granting a permit become unknown. So I'm in favor of this, and so I would just like to put that on the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Paul Seaton.
We have nobody after this.
Hello?
Yes, please proceed.
All right. This is Howard Arnson, Jr. calling from Ketchikan, Alaska, and I'm calling to vote to voice my opinion for yes on Proposition 1. Some people have said this is the wrong process. Well, the ballot initiative process is the only process we have available when our legislatures will either fail or refuse to act on our behalf. Rather than read a litany of reasons why Alaskans should all stand for salmon and vote yes on one, I'd just like to read the Constitution. So the Constitution of the great state of Alaska, Article 8, Natural Resources, Section 1, Statement Policy. It is the policy of the state to encourage the settlement of its land and the development of its resources by making them available for the maximum use consistent with the public interest. That's why I stand for salmon. Section 2, General Authority. The legislature shall provide for the utilization, development, and conservation of all natural resources belonging to the state, including land and waters, for the maximum benefit of its people. This is why I stand for salmon. Section 3, Common Use. Wherever occurring in their natural state, fish, wildlife, and waters are reserved to the people for the common use. This is why I stand for salmon. Section 4, sustained yield. Fish, forests, wildlife, grasslands, and all other replenishable resources belonging to the state shall be utilized, developed, and maintained on the sustained yield principle, subject to the preferences among beneficial uses. This is why I stand for salmon. There's nothing here about foreign interests. There's nothing here but about maintaining resources sustainably for the good of the people, not at the expense. Stand for salmon. Vote yes on one. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we have Heather Avoy of Juneau.
Hello. This is Heather Avoy. I live at 9951 Stephen Richards, number one in Juneau. And I just wanted to, I'm not sure who's in the room for this. I'm actually on a work call from Tennessee, but I just would like to share with you folks that I think that Prop 1 is very important. While a blanket initiative might not be the best approach, I think the failure to enact salmon habitat updates in the past few legislative sessions are a direct reflection of why we're here with this initiative process. And I think that salmon are a very important resource for all of us Alaskan folks. I am an Indigenous person. I'm Kim Shan from Metlakatla in Ketchikan, and I know how important putting up salmon is for me and my family. I see some very real changes going on in regards to climate change, things happening out in the ocean that we can't control. But what we can control is our salmon habitat protection. And I see a yes vote on Proposition 1 as bringing multiple users to the table to have further conversations and hope that we can get to the best resolution possible to help protect our salmon, a very important resource. And thank you folks very much for the time that you gave me and the opportunity to testify. And I hope you all have a wonderful Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's nobody left.
Okay. We will wait 1 minute and then adjourn. I will now adjourn this statewide teleconference hearing. I'd like to thank all of those who testified today for taking the time to do so. Thank you, Scott. And I'd like to thank those who have done the technical arrangement and set up this teleconference hearing at the Legislative Affairs Agency. So much for all of the assistance given us during the course of these hearings that have been held around the state, two in each judicial district. And so at this time, I will adjourn this hearing. Goodbye.
Your host is exiting the conference.